God's blessings to you as we look at the scripture readings for this coming weekend, the fourth Sunday of the Lenten season. And again, we ask our Lord to guide and direct us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and how clear these readings this week make that gift being truly what it is, a gift, not something we've earned or deserved, but your blessing to us because of your love for us in Christ. Help us to see that again and rejoice in that and be ready to share that if we ever get an opportunity with others and to reflect your love in what happens in our lives, as these readings also encourage us to do, to be full of thanks and praise to you. Bless us in this time together as we look at your word. In Christ's name, amen. The Old Testament lesson for this Sunday is Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. God had told his people that they were not to take any kind of land from the descendants of Esau, since Esau and Jacob and the children of Israel came from the line of Jacob, since they were relatives, you could say, that they were not to take land from the descendants of Esau, the Edomites, as they were called. And so they went around Edom on their way to the promised land. But this delayed them. They fought a lot, it seemed like, to the people, this extra travel. And they became very impatient. And they spoke against God and against Moses. And they complained, as they had complained so often before, about the worthless food they were provided and no water, even though God had continually given them enough manna, bread from heaven, and had given them sometimes quail and would give that to them. And recently he had given them plenteous water also from a rock when they thought they were going to not be able to have anything to drink. This was again pure rebellion against God, impatience against him and his will and his ways. And so God sent fiery serpents, some kind of poisonous snake among them, and many began to be bitten and to die. They quickly changed their tune and began to confess their sins to God. And they asked Moses to pray to God to take away the serpents, even though they had just complained against Moses and against God himself. Now they asked for prayer and for help. And Moses prayed, and the Lord told Moses to make and set up a fiery bronze serpent on a pole. If the people were bitten and would look on the serpent, trusting in God's promises, then they would live. And that is what happened for many of the people. This unusual story was actually a prophecy of what would happen in and to and through Jesus, as told in John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, where John very clearly, and Jesus through him, is referring to this passage. It's the gospel lesson for this week. Jesus would be lifted up on a pole on the cross so that everyone who would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. And this is a very familiar passage, so I'll just kind of describe that again. God the Father, in his great love, sent his only Son into our world, not to condemn, but to save. And that's very clear in this passage. Jesus was and is light, this passage says. Sadly, many would still reject him and continue to live in darkness rather than in the light that he came to bring. And then they were living also in evil and condemnation with no forgiveness available to them as they were rejecting the one who brings the forgiveness, Jesus himself, by his sacrifice on the pole, on the cross. But those who believed in him would be saved through him and through his sacrifice for them. And as we'll hear in the next passage, they couldn't even believe in him without the grace of God at work in them. And that's why we don't ever boast in ourselves, but we boast in our Lord and what he has done for us and his amazing grace and love for us. Well, Paul also tells of this plan of God and the way of salvation in our epistle lesson, Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. Paul reminds us of how we started off in our life, dead, spiritually dead, in our sins and trespasses, under the power of Satan, and in our original sin, our sinful nature, where we are called children of wrath, under the wrath of God, instead of children under the love and the mercy and the help of God. And that was the situation we were in, that we were all in. And I often say, how much can a dead person do? And there's nothing we can do. That's why we can't start off our life with God first, and then God will respond to us. Can't happen. But God, in his great love and mercy, made us alive together with Christ. It was purely by his grace that we were saved. We didn't make ourselves alive. We can't keep ourselves alive spiritually, but it's by his grace that we were saved. And in fact, it's described in that way, that we have been saved already by the grace of God, and that our salvation is so certain in Christ. It's as if we were already in the heavenly places in the way that this passage goes on. That also rules out the idea of some that God gets us started with some initial grace, and then it's really up to us to merit enough in our life and do enough in our life that we will finally be able to climb our way to heaven and to eternal life with our Lord. And if we don't make it in some churches, then we have to spend time after this life doing more and paying more for part of our sins. Not what this passage says at all. Our salvation is sure in Christ. And we will see the fullness of all of that, of course, only in the future when we reach eternal life, when we die and go to be with our Lord. But we have the promise that we have been saved already by God's grace through faith, through hanging on to Jesus and what he has done for us. This salvation, again, is not our own doing, this passage says. It's not at all our own doing, but is the gift of God, not by our works. So we have nothing to boast about as God's people. We don't merit a thing. It's the grace of God. And then God recreates us, verse 10 of this passage says, in Christ, so that now we can do some good. As we walk through this life, we can do some things and be useful people to honor God, to love other people, and to be a blessing as Christ has first loved us and saved and rescued us. And that's what God would wish for us. And this passage even says that God has some works prepared for us to do. He places us where we are and in certain situations where we have opportunities to be a blessing to others. And we pray that we can see and recognize those and show God's love as he first has loved us. And again, none of that is to merit anything. It's in gratefulness for what God has done for us. And our life now in the Lord as his redeemed people, as we know in Christ, is described in a prophetic kind of way in Psalm 107. That's our psalm for this day. In verses 1 to 9, the picture image in these first verses is that we've been out in the wilderness, spiritually lost and hungry and thirsty, fading away, this passage says, because we're on our own apart from God. But the Lord hears our cries, and he delivers us, and he led us to a safe place, a city to dwell in. Sometimes it's called the city of God. The eternal life that is prepared for us as God's people. And we're headed that way now through faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior and what he's done for us. And so now we can only, in our life, thank our Lord for his wondrous works, not ours, but his, and his goodness, and his steadfast love that will endure forever. That's the hope that we have in Christ, and it's a wonderfully good news for us, and it's purely by the gift, the grace of God. The rest of the psalm, Psalm 107, then, if you want to read on your own, uses other picture images of the Lord rescuing people in all kinds of circumstances and situations of life. And we are called then, as Psalm 107 ends, to walk and to be wise in Christ, to pay attention to all of this, and to keep on considering and trusting the steadfast love of God for us too, that this is our story as well in Christ our Savior, and that we keep this in mind continually. And then the other blessings of God will be ours too, and help and strength to do some good works, some useful things that are a blessing to God, honor Him, and help other people as well. Okay. The Lord's blessings to you as you think about these things and look on your own at these scripture readings. And as I always do, I will encourage you to also get to worship if that's possible for you and you're able to do so. Or maybe there's a way that you can watch the service through streaming or other devices, and to seek to do that if you possibly can, so you can hear from others too and other perspectives on these scriptures that can be helpful to you as well in your Lord and Savior. And on your own, you can look at these and read these and think about them as well. And again, that's what the Lord is always encouraging, our use of His Word, and being above all in readings like these, encouraged by His tremendously good news for us and His grace abounding for us. The Lord's blessings then to you all.